Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Homeris and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in a casual setting for conversation around God's Word, the Bible. Join us now for Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.
Well, we'd like to welcome you to our gathering here as we meet together for Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, Joe Jackowitz. And as always, it's so nice having all of you join us. Hi, this is Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. And again, we're so happy to be here and to have you sitting in on our conversation with Pastor Joe. It's always a wonderful blessing to take a break in our routine for some spiritual food as we dig into the scriptures on Bible Talk. Now, today we're continuing to look at John's Gospel, Chapter 3, that's filled with so many lessons for us to consider in our walk with God. Now, if you're just joining us and would like to listen in to any of our past programs, if you missed any segment or would like to listen again, or if you'd like to invite someone else to listen, well, you can. You just go to our website, firstloveradio.org. That's all one word, firstloveradio.org, and you scroll down to the Bible Talk picture, click on it, and it'll take you to all of our programs. That's firstloveradio.org, O-R-G. And another great blessing is to be doing this with Pastor Joe. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Well, hello, Bobby. Hello, Rich, and hello, listeners. It's such a blessing for us to join around the coffee table and study the Word of God again together.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, as we said, we're continuing our look at the Gospel of John, Chapter 3, and have come down to verses 20 and 21, which read, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Now, Pastor Joe, first we're told that there are those who practice evil. What does the Bible mean here by practicing evil? Usually, what might come to mind when you talk about evil would be those who worship evil or those who murder or hurt people. But is this also speaking about those who occasionally commit wrongful acts or even just have wrongful thoughts?
Well, no, Rich. This is not talking about those who commit sin occasionally, even sometimes frequently. It's practicing evil is a statement that describes a person's lifestyle, a person's way of life, a person's worldview, the general thrust and direction of a person's life. When a person puts his or her trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible says that person becomes born from above or born again. When that happens, their relationship with sin or evil changes. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Some of the old things that pass away when a person becomes a true Christian, a born-again Christian, is that their lifestyle no longer revolves around practicing evil or being a slave of sin or doing wickedness and sinful things as a general practice and habit. When a person becomes a child of God, that individual receives the divine nature, as well as the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of him or her. And therefore, they hate sin. Part of their conversion, quote unquote, is the repentance of sin, whereby they have made a 180-degree course correction in their lifestyle and in their motives and goals in life. And they love God now. All things have become new. The things that they used to not really care about regarding God, like reading the Bible, praying, going to church, and sharing the good news of the gospel, they have a new attitude and approach to those things. They love them. That is what they live for. They delight in reading the Bible. They get fed in their spirits and nourished in their minds when they pray and read the Bible. But that did not used to be the case when they were living as a wicked sinner before God, where they practiced evil. The Bible teaches that it is not individual sins that describe the Christian way of life, but a lifestyle of sin. A true Christian may what we call backslide for a time, maybe for a day or a week or a month, maybe even longer. But eventually, the Holy Spirit dwelling in that person will convict them of their sins and bring them back into repentance. They will confess their sins and receive a fresh hatred for that sin and return to Jesus Christ in fellowship and in submitting their life to the Lordship of Christ. So a person may commit individual acts of sin, but a true Christian, not just a churchgoer or a religious person, I'm talking about someone who is truly born of the Spirit, cannot live permanently in sin without conviction of that sin, repentance of that sin, and returning to Jesus Christ, trusting in Christ to cleanse them and restore them to a relationship that had been broken by sin.
So I think this is a little bit confusing because I hear what you're saying, Pastor Joe, but I think it was just a question of semantics. What I heard Rich ask is, and tell me if I'm wrong, Rich, is that when this verse says, for those who practice evil, and he was saying, okay, so to whom is this referring? Is it to... Sometimes we think of practicing evil as just people who perhaps do witchcraft or worship Satan openly, specifically. Or is this referring to everyone who does not what the Lord's will is, who does commit sin, and which is all of us? So I think the way his question is, it would be yes, it refers to everyone who commit sin, because all of that is evil to God, but they might misunderstand when you said no, it doesn't refer to people who occasionally commit wrongful acts. Those wrongful acts are sin, so God would consider that to be evil, and like you're saying, Pastor Joe, just our way of life before we get to know God would be considered to the Lord practicing evil,
right?
Because his standard is perfection.
When we talk about practicing evil, the idea of evil includes any kind of sin, not just the traditional outward forms of evil that most people think are worse than any other kinds of evil, like murder or adultery or other such things. When we talk about evil, the Bible defines evil as sin. It could be evil thoughts, evil actions, evil words, sinful words, thoughts, and deeds. And a person can live a respectable life and is not a prostitute or is not a drug dealer or a bank robber. This person can be a businessman who is, quote unquote, a nice person, at least in his own eyes. But in their thoughts, they may think self-righteously about themselves, thinking they're good in themselves, they're nice people. And if their good works outweigh their bad works, then they'll go to heaven. These are evil thoughts of self-justification, arrogance, pride that God hates just as much as the sin of murder or the sin of worshiping idols. We can lump in there any kind of sinful thought. If you think judgmental or bad thoughts about a person, that evil is just as bad as committing murder. God's measuring stick for evil is not our own minds, what we consider to be worse. Some people try to justify themselves and their sin because they measure themselves and compare themselves to other people, and they say, well, I'm not as bad as that person. I'm not as bad as the prostitute. I'm not as bad as the murderer. But they don't understand that the Ten Commandments in the Bible teach us that all sinful thoughts, words, and deeds are basically sin, and God will judge those who commit such acts by the same standard, his commandments, and whether they, the sin of gossip or the sin of judging someone in our thoughts or the sin of evil thoughts about another person, or they be murder or adultery or prostitution, one sin, regardless of what that sin is in nature, can cause someone to be punished in the lake of fire forever. So evil is evil, sin is sin. It is all the same according to God in the Bible.
Okay, great. I think that's clear. Thank you. And then we're told that those who practice evil hate the light. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the study, Pastor Joe, but could you quickly explain what is meant here, that they hate the light?
Well, let's talk about the light first, because that's an important topic and theme in the Bible.
Yes.
Light is an important symbol in the Bible. We have many metaphors around the idea of light to teach us about God himself. Jesus is described as the light in several passages, like John chapter 1 and verse 9. We read that Jesus is the light of the world. This light reveals things. That's what light does. It exposes things. It's a revealer of those things that are hidden. And some of what it uncovers, we would rather keep secret. Those who sin would prefer that sin stay hidden and not be exposed. The Greek term here, translated as evil or wicked, means worthless, base, or no good, where it says practicing evil in comparison to the light. And so a life without God may seem satisfying for a while, but it's ultimately hopeless and worthless and ends in disaster. The Bible says many, many people are walking in darkness. They're not in the light. They're in the darkness, which means they're practicing evil. They're walking on a path of darkness that does not have the knowledge of God, nor have God's truth and his will as a priority in their life. And these people are described in Proverbs 16 as there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Again, Jesus said in Mark 8:36, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So if a person is walking in darkness, that is living in sin, practicing sin, doing their own thing, unconcerned about God's warnings and God's will for their lives, then they are walking in darkness. But the light is a metaphor of walking with God. And this is not just a Christian opinion. Many atheists subscribe to this idea as well. They look for ways to avoid living as though life has no meaning or life has no purpose. They're looking for purpose and meaning. They would love to understand more about truth, but they recognize that with no God, there's no legitimate meaning to life. The Bible teaches us in order to live a life of purpose rationally, a person has to believe in a purpose. And John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 describe those people who love sin and therefore hate the light, because the light exposes their sins. That's what light does. When Jesus was in the world, sinful people were made uncomfortable by his presence because he revealed their sinful condition in light of his own holiness, in light of his own perfections, in light of his own godly lifestyle. So the best way to tell if, for example, a stick is crooked is to place a straight stick next to it.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus came into the world as the perfect God-man, he revealed the crookedness or sinfulness of other people. And so Jesus is the light, and those who practice walking with him in the light are of the light.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, Joe Jackowitz, and we'll return to our program in just a moment, so don't go away. There's much more to come. Pastor Joe is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. Now, perhaps you've got a question you would like to ask Pastor Joe, or a comment you would like us to share on an upcoming episode of Bible Talk. Well, you can do just that by simply emailing us. Here's the email address, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Again, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also mail in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply tap on the Contact Us tab on our website, firstloveradio.org, and ask your question there. Be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this information at the end of our program, but for now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
To reemphasize a part of what I already said, God is light, 1 John 1:5 says, and light is a common metaphor in the Bible, as I mentioned. Proverbs 4:18 symbolizes righteousness as the morning sun. Philippians 2:15 likens God's children who are blameless and pure to shining stars in the sky. Jesus used light as a picture of good works. He said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. And Psalm 76:4 says of God, you are radiant with light. So the fact that God is light sets up a natural contrast with darkness. If light is a metaphor for righteousness and goodness, then darkness signifies evil and sin, as I've said. 1 John 1:6 says that if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. And that's what it means to hate the light. If we say that we have the light or we have fellowship with him or we know God or we are saved or we are born again or we are a child of God, those are all different kinds of statements and metaphors that people use to indicate they're going to heaven. But if we claim we're going to heaven and we claim to know God, but we don't walk in the light, we walk in darkness, we live lives of rebellion and disobedience against God, the Bible says we're lying. We're not living out the truth. Actually, verse 5 says in 1 John 1, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. We're not told that God is a light, but that he is light. In other words, light is part of his essence, as is love. It says God is love, and it says God is light. It's part of his nature. And so the message is that God is completely, unreservedly, absolutely holy, with no mixture of sin, no taint of iniquity, and no hint of injustice. Now, if we don't have the light, we don't know God. Those who know God, who walk with him, who are true children of God, are of the light, they love the light, and they agree with the light, and they, to some degree, walk in the light, except if they disobey God and give way to temptation. But it doesn't mean they live a lifestyle of walking in darkness. It means they have temporarily fallen and they will recover. But they are made partakers of God's divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And that's why they can walk in the light. And God is light, as I said, and so is his son. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's John 8:12. And so to walk here, where he says they won't walk in darkness, means to make progress. To walk means to make progress, to go in a direction that is making progress in a certain area. Therefore, we can infer from this verse that Christians are meant to grow in holiness and to mature in faith and obedience as they get older in the faith, as they follow Jesus. And so God is light, and his plan is that believers shine forth his light, becoming more like Christ every day. He says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. God is the creator of physical light as well as the giver of spiritual light by which we could see the truth. Light exposes whatever is hidden in darkness. It shows things as they really are. And so to walk in the light means to know God, to understand the truth, and to live a lifestyle of righteousness.
Yes. Now, the Bible says that we've all sinned. Romans 3, verse 10. And disclosing some of those sins would be very difficult for many of us, just as it says here in verse 20 that those who walk in darkness do not want their wrongful deeds to be exposed. Now, what about that person who's carrying a heavy guilt burden about their past and feels shameful of what they've done? Do they have to publicly come into the light and confess their sins before they can become right before God?
No, that's not what it's talking about. God does not require a public confession of sin to be saved. A public confession of sin is not required for salvation. Anything that we can do of a religious nature, physically speaking, or before people, like confessing sin or attending a church service or being baptized, anything we do physically is not the grounds of salvation. It is not what we do. It is what Christ did on the cross by paying our sin debt. That is the basis of our salvation. There's nothing wrong with confession of sin, but we can never believe in our minds that confessing sin or repenting of sin is going to earn merit or please God in and of itself. Confession of sin and repentance of sin is evidence that we are believers. They are the fruits that come from a heart that repents and trusts in Christ. But God does not require that from us as the basis of salvation. Salvation rests on the foundation of what Christ did in his atoning death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, the sacrifice of his broken body and shed blood, his perfect life. Everything that Jesus did to purchase our salvation is what forms the basis of our salvation and not what we do. But the public confession of sin, even the private confession of sin to people, for example, if I confess to people after I become a Christian, if I apologize to them for past wrongs, if I have a strong desire to make restitution, which usually is the case with brand new believers who, after receiving the Holy Spirit, are very sensitive to making right any wrongs that they have done and making restitution, if they are able to do that. Sometimes it's not possible, but at least they have the desire to do it. These things are the fruits that come from the new birth and from true conversion, but they are not the grounds of becoming right with God.
You know, sometimes you hear that if you have unconfessed sins, that you're carrying this burden with you, where our Lord says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So what about walking around with an unconfessed sin? Does that hold me back from being right with God?
Yes, it does. For an unsaved person, for one who is not a Christian, the lack of confession of sin and repentance of sin and faith in Christ has certainly prevented them from becoming a child of God and the forgiveness of their sins. So God does require repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But those are both gifts of salvation. Those are gifts from God. And it is not the physical act in itself of doing that that saves us. But when we do come to God, the confession and repentance of sin and the faith we put in Jesus Christ to save us, they are like a bridge that lead us to God. But the Lord himself prompts us and moves us to repent and believe, so that no matter what we do, we can never take credit for the best thing we could do. Even those things that God commands us to do, like repent and believe in Jesus, we can never take credit for that, because every good gift comes from above, the Bible says, even repentance and faith. But when the free offer of the gospel is proclaimed, it is proclaimed to people in the present tense. That is, they hear the command and the gospel proclamation to repent and to put their trust in Christ. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. And if they don't repent and believe in Jesus, they will perish, and it will be their fault, and God will punish them by separating himself from them forever and punish them in hell, but it will be because they did not repent and believe in Jesus. Even though God commanded them to, they will be at fault, and God will punish them for not doing it because they rejected the free offer of the gospel by God. So we don't confuse the matter. It is required for unsaved people, non-Christians, to confess their sin, which is part of repentance. You have to verbally or in your heart and mind admit to God that you sinned against him. A sincere seeker has such a sincere desire to make things right with God that they don't hesitate to seek in their background all the sin they can possibly remember and confess it and tell God they hate it and they repent of it. They don't want to do it again. And they want to make a 180 change of direction. They want to go towards God now. And then they hear the command to believe. And so they are trusting Jesus Christ, though they can't see him nor hear his voice. They believe the promise that Jesus has given to all who seek him, that if they trust in him, they will not perish, but have everlasting life. For the Christian, repentance and confession of sin is something we do on a daily basis. But since our initial repentance and the exercising of faith in Christ, all of our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. All of those sins have been forgiven. So when a Christian actually confesses sin, God is not forgiving that Christian of sin. Those sins have already been forgiven when they first became saved. But unconfessed sin does hinder our relationship with God on a daily basis. The Bible says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So as a Christian, if I don't confess my sin, then God won't hear my prayers, my Bible reading and my walk, my relationship with God on a daily basis will be hindered. Sin will be like a wedge between me and God. It will hinder lively thoughts of meditation about God. It will restrict my ability to speak and have thoughts flow and worship flow to God with liberty and freedom. It will constrict greatly the communication between me and God and the relationship and the worship that I have for God. It will make things very awkward in my relationship with him if I don't confess and repent of my sins on a daily basis. Again, these sins have already been forgiven for the Christian, but when we confess our sin, it's like somebody who rolled around in the mud outside and got all their clothes filthy and came in and washed their clothes and put on new garments. What God is saying by that in the parable to Peter, he who is clean doesn't need to change their garments. They just need to wash their feet. What God is saying there for the Christian, their garments have already been cleansed. They already have the white robe of Christ's righteousness on them. But their feet, because they come into contact with the world and with sin on a daily basis, they just need to clean their feet. That is, they just need to confess and repent of their sin, even though those sins are already totally forgiven.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. Be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.